Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So I am recording this on a Sunday night. I know I usually always upload between like a Wednesday and a Friday. I've been getting stuff ready for my holiday. I'm off in the morning actually to Albufeira in Portugal. And this morning I woke up and I actually got my photo shoot pictures back. So I think like from January up until now, the start of every podcast has been a photo shoot update. So this will be the last one because this ties up the bow. This bow is tying everything up now in a nice little package and I can close the chapter. So yeah, that is a weird analogy, but you know what I mean. But yeah, I got them back this morning, like so happy with them. Really, like I'm just, because I did one last year, like I said, and it was only 9 weeks. This one was 19 weeks. And honestly, like they're just worlds apart. Not that I saw anything wrong with the ones last year. I was so impressed last year because I had nothing to compare them to. So that was probably the best shape I had been in up till that point. And then I said, you know what? I actually didn't even consider doing another one. It wasn't until around like November just gone that I thought to myself, no, you know, I'm going to do another one and I'm going to like blow the last photo shoot out of the water. But I'm doing photo shoots now and I won't be doing another one because it's not something you do every year. And I mentioned that in last week's podcast, but I'm so happy now. Like there is a bit of closure now. The pictures are done. We move on. You know, I talk to my coach all the time in these last 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since I've done it. And, you know, I explained that like I was going through a bit of an identity crisis because my coach made a very good point, Adam. He said, you know, and you like at the start of this photo shoot prep, you had to train yourself to say no to a lot of things that you've been saying yeah to for the past year. So that could be like going out for meals, you know, going on the drink, etc. And, you know, limiting food, like snacks and stuff, fast food, not being able to eat in restaurants and stuff. And then you condition your body and your mind to live like that for 5 months. And then all of a sudden you're going back to normality. And it feels alien then to be able to say yes to those things again, because you've conditioned yourself to say no for so long. So it's kind of like not having guilt association with like saying yes. So, oh, well, you know, I'm eating out more than usual this week. And, you know, I've just gone 5 months without eating out at all. I'm going to whack this all back on. Like, they are genuine thoughts that I have. Like, I am human. And I know that if I stick to my routine, and my coach said as well, he said, Enya, as long as you are reversing out of this correctly and appropriately, you know, you're doing your cardio sessions, you're still doing your steps, and you are staying at maintenance calories for the majority of it, you should be fine. Whereas if I like just neglected that protocol and I just went to, you know, from 0 to 100, eating out every day, not walking, not doing my cardio, not doing my workouts, and just saying like fuck it, yeah, I probably would put it back on rapidly. But I'm going on holiday anyway tomorrow and I'm delighted. I mean, still in great shape. It's only been 2 weeks anyway, not a lot will happen in 2 weeks, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to a breakaway. Like, I just need it. It's been absolutely hectic these last 5 months, not just because of the photo shoot, like even though it had taken over my life, but just so much other stuff going on in the background. Like, I have a new stand-up tour starting now, like the week I come back. I'm back Monday the 10th. And my fourth show of my new tour is the Thursday. And then I have one on the Friday and then I have one on the Sunday as well. So yeah, I'm really going to enjoy this holiday. And you know, I'm going to try not be on social media. I actually have a couple of video ideas, but you know, I'll be making content while I'm away. Like while I'm in another country, I'll be able to take advantage of the lovely weather and the scenery. And yeah, I'll post a couple of videos. But in terms of like sitting on my phone scrolling, no, I'm like literally going to be down at the pool. I'm going to leave my phone up in the room, and then when I'm at meal times, I'm going to like either leave my phone back in the room, or I have like an app that you can lock other apps on your phone, like social media apps, like the stuff that like really eats into your time and takes up a lot of time and like, you know, has you glued to your phone. It's called Opal, OPAL I think it is, and there's like settings on it where you can like literally block every social media app and you can't get back into it. Like even if you delete the app, it won't even let you delete the app. So there's like 3 settings on it. It's like mild, where like you can check it once an hour. Then there's like moderate, where it's locked out for an hour. And then like severe is like you tell it how long you don't want to access the apps and it will not let you in. So for example, if I was going out in the evenings, I could be like, I feel like this is a paid ad. It's not. I could be going out in the evenings for dinner. I'm like, do you know what? I don't want to be distracted by my phone. I want to like, and which I do, I want to be present. I want to give back time to my brother's going to be over with his girlfriend and I'm going away with my boyfriend. I want to just be present and not have that habit of picking up the phone, looking at the screen, putting it back down every 2 minutes. I want to come back from the holiday and I want my screen time to be like 30 minutes or to an hour a day, because at the moment it's like 6 to 7 hours. Like, that's scary. But my job is primarily social media. So, you know, this holiday is going to be an excuse to kind of distance myself from that. But yeah. Like, I know I'm going to be posting stuff while I'm over there and people are going to be like, I thought you wanted a break from it. But I'm talking about like sitting on the balcony while he's in getting the shower. I'll post a video then while I'm by myself and I'm not being rude and taking out the phone at the dinner table editing a video. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And I don't see that as work. Like, I don't feel, oh, I'm away, like I have to do this video. Like, I have great crack making my Giz a Laugh videos and I enjoy making the content for my coaching page. To be honest, I don't know whether I'll post much content on the coaching page. I may record a workout and, you know, I'll record like loads of clips over there of food and that. And, you know, I don't know. That's just a brainwave I have. But I know one thing is for sure. I will only be on my phone and I will try my best to only be on my phone when I am alone and, you know, not in the presence of other people. So anyway, yes, looking forward to that. So there won't be a podcast next week. So it's just this one. And I wanted to talk about cravings because I get so many messages of so many people asking, oh, you know, when it's their time of the month, or oh, I want to do a calorie deficit, but I love my chocolate. Like, a lot of people think they have to just completely like restrict and they don't. But cravings is a huge thing because you're so used to giving into cravings. And that's why you can't sustain a calorie deficit. But there does have to be some mental resilience and a bit of willpower there. So we're going to just dive into that. And I'm going to discuss cravings briefly. Okay. So food cravings. Why do we have them? So a food craving is like an intense desire for a specific food. So the desire can seem uncontrollable. And the person's hunger may not be satisfied until they get that particular food. So some experts actually believe food cravings last only 3 to 5 minutes. They're caused by regions of the brain that are actually responsible for memory, pleasure and reward. So every person experiences cravings differently. Cravings are often for like junk, they're often for like junk foods and processed foods high in sugar, salt and fat. Like, so they are a major roadblock for some people when they're trying to maintain a healthy weight or like switch to a more healthful diet. But there are some steps that you can take to handle them. So, for example, an imbalance of hormones such as leptin and serotonin can also cause food cravings. And it is also possible that food cravings are due to endorphins that are released into the body after someone has eaten, which mirrors an addiction. So emotions may also be involved in producing a food craving, especially if a person comfort eats. So when you're like eating chocolate or you go to the press and you get a sheer size chocolate bar, or a sheer size bag of crisps, like, yeah, they might taste nice, but it's actually the feeling that you're chasing when you're eating, that your brain is chasing a feeling. So, for example, when you win money, like, you know, that like sensation you get, like, oh my God, I can't believe I won money. Like, your brain releases that same emotion when you're eating that food, but then it fades after a while. So pregnant women experience especially strong cravings, which may be due to hormonal changes that can disrupt our taste and smell receptors. And then there's also the possibility of a connection between cravings and nutrients. This is the idea that the body craves certain foods because it lacks certain nutrients. So like, cravings can be selective or non-selective. So a selective is where like you choose it. Like, selective cravings are cravings for specific foods that maybe a person's favorite chocolate bar, a specific burger from a certain restaurant, their favorite fast food, chicken fillet rolls, spice bags, you know, bag of crisps. And then non-selective craving is the desire to eat anything. So this is when you're genuinely hungry. And you would, I always use this analogy as well. If you were genuinely hungry and someone put a plate of chicken in front of you, would you eat it? If the answer is yes, you are genuinely hungry. If you were like, oh no, I wouldn't be able, then you're not hungry. Drinking water can actually help with intense non-selective cravings. So, you know, hunger pangs, or sometimes we're genuinely thirsty when we're hungry. Like, sometimes it's not actual food hunger, it's actual like, yeah, your body's just thirsty and you just need water. So what are cravings, or what do cravings actually mean? Like, there's, they can, It's usually our body trying to tell you something, okay? So like a need for energy is one of them. So one of the main reasons the body craves extra food on a diet is that it wants more energy. So calories are a unit of energy. So when you diet and start losing body fat, your body will do everything in its power to maintain balance. So that can include like sending out powerful signals to make you want to eat. But that's not really helpful if you're overweight and you need to reduce your weight for health reasons. Like that's not really going to be helpful if you're in a calorie deficit. So don't forget, we have another powerful source of energy available to us other than food, and it's calorie free. Extra sleep and rest are very useful when you are on a diet, okay? If you are having cravings on your diet, look at what you've been eating. Choose foods that replace key missing vitamins, minerals or micronutrients. When you're in a calorie deficit, you need to be careful about nourishing your body and making good food choices. So like craving fatty foods, if you are craving the likes of cheese, fried foods or other high fat options, you could need more essential fatty acids. So introduce oily fish, whole eggs, avocado, or take a good quality fish oil supplement. And then chocolate cravings. Chocolate is a combination of fats and sugars, so carbs, but it also contains significant vitamins and minerals too. So your body might be asking for magnesium, so chromium or B vitamins, as well as essential fats. Like try 90% chocolate or 100% cacao. Buy a small bar, or better still, try cacao nibs, which are actually pure chocolate. So raw chocolate can be useful because it has more minerals than normal chocolate. But I know we all love like a Cadbury's bar or a Dairy Milk, which is Cadbury's. We all have our little faves too. But this is just literally tips, okay? It's not compulsory. But chocolate cravings can indicate a need for happy hormones like serotonin, because that's what our body would produce when we eat chocolate. Like consider a non-food treat like an early night, okay? A cuddle with your pet or some quality time with a loved one. Like these are things that you can replace food with, like food that you actually don't need, food that you just want. So when you're having a craving, like I often say to clients as well, like how are you feeling when you want to go to the press and you want to eat a sheer size bag of Doritos or Maltesers, and they're like, oh, you know, I had a really tough day at work, or I was in an absolute fowler and I just want the chocolate and chocolate was going to make me feel better. Okay, well, there's a couple of tips that you could try. You could go on a walk, you could, you know, spend time with your pet, spend time with your kids. Something that's not food related but gives off the same feeling. So like emotional eating, okay? Like do you know what triggers your cravings, which is what I just said there. Like what's going through your, what I say to a client, what's going through your head when you're craving that? Like you might know a few of them, but chances are there are some unconscious triggers making you crave certain foods. So common triggers that people report to me, like in my check-ins, boredom. Being bored, I used to be so guilty of this. Like I would have nothing to do. I'd just be lying in bed watching telly and, you know, for a few hours. And just to kind of like break the cycle of staring at a screen for 4 hours, I would be going downstairs and just picking at stuff because it was just something to do. I wouldn't even be hungry. But when you do that over and over again throughout the day, like those calories add up. And, you know, when you're not educated with nutrition and stuff like that, you don't really think, like it's ingrained in me now to just be like, eat at meal times and then like a snack in between each meal time. But when I used to be like that, like all those calories start compounding. If you're doing that over days, months, years, and you're just so unbeknownst to it, and that's how quickly it can add up. Like, so being bored or having nothing to do is a common emotional eating trigger. So many people live very stimulating and active lives. So when they have nothing to do, they will turn to food to fill that like vacancy, because you probably notice it with people who maybe give up cigarettes. They're not like smoking anymore, they're not occupied, so then they turn to food. Or if they lose their job and now they're at home a lot and they have nothing to do, so like they're turning to food to pass time, etc. I noticed that Christmas I kind of started slipping back into a habit of like snacking more than usual because I wasn't working, like I had no shows on, and you know, it was a quiet period for me. So habits as well, like the habit of just snacking. So these are often driven by like nostalgia or things that happened in a person's childhood. Example might be having ice cream after, you know, you got a good report in school, or like when you used to go with your nannies and your grandparents or whatever you call them, and they would just be feeding you cakes and biscuits. And, you know, now like every Saturday, I remember when I used to go to my grandparents every Saturday, we used to get a fry in the evening or else a chipper. And that's a habit. So like, you know, when you're going into a calorie deficit and they are habits that aren't really contributing to your fat goal, they're probably going to hold you back. If it's consistent, like if it's, you know, like 2 to 3 days a week, like that's a habit. So we have to think of how we can replace that, you know, and then it's hard then when you do remove it, because you're going to start craving that again. So replace it with something that's actually going to benefit you rather than just completely giving it up, you know. Fatigue. So it's very easy to overeat or eat mindlessly when we are fatigued, especially when we're tired or doing an unpleasant task. Like food can seem like the answer to not wanting to do a particular activity anymore. So like if you're in the middle of doing like an assignment for college or work or whatever, and you're like, I know what I'll do, I'll just go down and make something to eat. And you know, before you know, you're sitting at the kitchen table scrolling on your phone, and you could even just be even picking at biscuits. Another thing I always say to people as well is, like when you're walking, especially at Christmas time, I notice this a lot, when, you know, you could be a manager or something like that in a beauty salon or somewhere where there's like a front of house desk and there's like a box of chocolates there, and you might even have it in an office. There's a box of chocolates on your desk because people are bringing in tins of roses, milk trays, etc. How are you supposed to walk if there's a box of chocolates staring at you in the face? So if you're in an environment where there's things constantly staring at you, like food items, like, you know, chocolate, crisps, biscuits, cakes, like I know when I used to walk in an office, there would always be like trays of donuts like sent in and muffins, and you know, when you know it's there and it's staring at you, like that's hard. Like that's it. I would even find it hard now, like even so many years on. It's staring at you in the face, and you know, so out of sight, out of mind. So that's another tip. Like that's often like a habit as well. Like if you have a habit of leaving the biscuit tin on the counter, like, you know, maybe stop leaving it on the counter, maybe put it out of sight, out of mind, because when it's staring at you, you will want to eat it. And then influences can be a big issue with craving. So like everyone has that friend who encourages them to get a pizza after a night out or a kebab, or oh, come on, we go out for something to eat, you know, do you want to go for lunch? Or when they're in the car and like, do you want to go through the drive through McDonald's? You know, like when you actually just want to meet up for a chat, like it's always revolved. Well, we are social creatures, but for some reason we just revolve every social event around food or drink, unfortunately, as like a reward for a good day. Like it can be easy to overeat when you're with friends and family. Like I said, going to your grandparents and they're shoving cakes and biscuits in your face, or, you know, being in the car with someone who's like, oh, come on, we'll just go to the drive-thru. But when I actually gave up alcohol during my photo shoot prep, like it did make me realize that like we do celebrate things with either food or drink. We either go for a meal to like mark a birthday, or like we go for drinks to celebrate an occasion. And I wish like there were other ways to celebrate, but I'm struggling to think of something off the top of my head. So, you know, some cravings you might recognize is craving a pizza on a Friday, like to celebrate making sure a work week or when your job like brings pizza in or reward you with pizza because you've all worked really hard on a project or something. Or, you know, wanting to eat ice cream like after your dinner, like maybe that was something that you used to do as a kid as well. Or maybe it's simply knowing that there's like cookies in the cupboard. So like I said, some cravings, you know, can be just as simple as that. Like there doesn't have to be a big kind of like psychological thing to it. Like it's just knowing that the food is there, or it's just through a habit, or it's through influences, or it's through fatigue. But like you might also have some hidden triggers or habits. So for example, you might associate sitting down on the couch at night with specific foods. So this is a huge one. Like the mammy sitting down with the bottle of wine and, you know, the bag of microwave popcorn. Like that's a huge thing. And like a lot of people say, oh, you know, that's all I have. That's my thing to do every Wednesday night. Or like the fourth step a person needs to take is to rid themselves of emotional eating. And it's to recognize your triggers and situations. Like keeping a food diary or a journal can actually help to identify situations when someone is more likely to eat because of emotional instead of physical hunger. So there's emotional and then there's physical hunger. So someone who eats when they're bored may want to find like a new book that sounds exciting to start reading, or start a new hobby that could provide a challenge to them. You know, keep things interesting, like going to the gym, or, you know, joining a running club, or even starting to run and like having that to focus on. Like when you actually have a focus and a purpose, it stops you having them cravings because you feel like you have something to walk towards. Now, when you have no goal, you're like, well, I'll just keep eating this because I'm not walking towards anything. So someone who eats because of stress could try yoga, they could try meditating, go for a walk, and to help themselves cope with their emotions. Someone who eats when they're depressed might want to call a friend, or, you know, go for a run, or plan an outing with friends, like, you know, out in nature, like going for a walk by the seaside. I always love walking in the mornings by the seaside. It just, or even in the local park, especially in the summertime with sunlight, vitamin D is so powerful for your mood, like, and it can help, you know, alleviate negative feelings. But also obviously talk to someone as well if it's really serious. Like, emotional eating is not simply a matter of a person lacking self-discipline, which a lot of coaches can be guilty of doing. Oh, you're just not disciplined enough. Oh, you need willpower. Like people who eat to deal with stress don't lack self-control either, you know. They just, emotional eating is, there's just so much depth to it. So, like, for example, physical versus emotional hunger, right? So physical versus emotional hunger, it's very easy to mistake emotional hunger for physical hunger, but there are characteristics that distinguish them. So recognizing these subtle differences is the first step towards helping to stop emotional eating patterns. Like, does the hunger come on quickly or gradually? Emotional hunger tends to hit quickly and suddenly and feels urgent, like I said, coming in after a hard day at work and going straight to the presses, where physical hunger is usually not as urgent and sudden, unless it has been a while since a person ate. Like, you know, like, that's genuine hunger. Like, you've had a really, really busy day, you've lost on yourself, you haven't made it home in time to have a meal, and you're genuinely hungry. So is a food craving for a specific food? Like, emotional hunger is usually associated with cravings for junk food or something unhealthy. Like, someone who's physically hungry will often eat anything, like I said, with a plate of chicken. While someone who's emotionally hungry will want something specific, like the bottle of wine with the pizza or the popcorn. And it's a such thing as a mindless eating. So, like, mindless eating is when someone eats without paying attention to or enjoying what they're consuming. And this is actually something that a lot of people can be guilty of, like watching the telly while they're eating. So an example is eating an entire container of ice cream while watching television, like having not intended to eat that much. Because you ever notice when you go to the cinema and, you know, the trailers are just a bit over and you're already halfway through your popcorn, it's like subconsciously you're eating and you forget. Like, this behavior usually happens with emotional eating, not eating true hunger. Like, it's just mindless, and it can actually damage digestion, like it can hinder digestion. Like, a lot of people can end up constipated because they're mindlessly eating. Like, they just keep eating and eating, they're not even taking a second to like chew the food and break it down properly. Like, so that's like just clogging up a drain. Like, that's what your digestive system is like. So, like, does the hunger come from the stomach or the head? So emotional hunger does not originate from the stomach, okay? So think of that the next time you want to go for the sheer size chocolate bar or the, you know, the multi-pack of crisps. You know, like rumbling or like a growling stomach is genuine hunger, whereas emotional hunger tends to start with when a person thinks about a craving or wants something specific to eat. So craving starch and carbohydrates. If you are craving savory carbs, it's a sign that you're low on energy. And I always say this to my clients who suffer with poor sleep. This can be a domino effect. And if you are suffering from poor sleep, you are going to want to crave foods like this because it gives you a quick hit of energy. So, like, you know, craving starch and carbs, like cakes, biscuits, jellies. You never see someone picking at chicken and mince when they're tired or when they're craving something, you know. Like, it's to be expected. Like, an energy imbalance is the only way to lose unwanted weight, but carb cravings can also indicate blood sugar fluctuations. So fill up on fiber-rich carbohydrate foods like fruit, apples and bananas would be a good choice, root vegetables and, you know, cruciferous vegetables. So that's something to watch out for, that when you're tired or low on energy, that's why you're craving them foods, because your body sees that as like quick energy. Like, and like I said, you don't see people picking at meat when they're craving food or when they're low on energy. It's always the biscuits and the jellies and stuff like that. It's never like oats or pasta. So like, if you have a craving for sugar craving is difficult to manage. Okay, so sugar is totally lacking in nutrients, but look, we're human, like we enjoy foods with sugar in them, like life is to be lived. So in this example, your body's not crying out for nutrition if you're craving sugar. It's more likely that your body is asking for fast energy, like I said, and it's replaying an old habit loop. So like giving in to sugar cravings will make dieting so much more difficult. Don't get back into the sugar spiral whenever you're craving something, picking at jellies, biscuits. Like try fruit. I know it's boring, but like something sweet that actually has got nutrients in it. You know, fruit, berries, like combined with some protein. So like phage yogurt, like cottage cheese with the frozen berries. I always buy them in supermarkets, you know, and I microwave them, like dark chocolate. So phage or phage, I don't know how you pronounce it. Frozen berries and dark chocolate. So like, I think it's like 85% or 90% dark chocolate is a really good meal, like to cure like sweet cravings. And drink some water. Experts think we crave sugar more often when we are slightly dehydrated as well. If you're craving salt, some people crave salty food like crisps, chips, fries, and savory snacks. So this is linked to low levels of electrolytes, okay? Dehydration and stress. So a lot of people who wake up hungover like really crave salty foods because you have been pissing like a racehorse all night, you know, throughout the night, and all them salts are leaving your body when you're going to the toilet that much. So you're dehydrated and your body's craving salt. So like add electrolytes to your morning water, like have a pint of water in the mornings. Every morning I have a liter of water and I sip on it for about an hour or two and I put in a scoop of electrolytes. You can go onto most nutrition websites and they have them there. I think it's Bolero is another brand. Hydration sachets that you can throw into your water. Bodyforcenutrition.ie or .com, I think. AOB Nutrition, My Protein will do it as well. And eat more vitamin B foods as well, like nuts, seeds, whole grains, fruit and vegetables. So unusual cravings. Are you craving things like ice, clay, chalk or dirt? So it's not as unusual as you might think. So like these type of non-food cravings point to like a mineral deficiency. So make sure you're eating lots of dark leafy greens, green vegetables, nuts and seeds. So like I know a lot of pregnant people crave this type of stuff. Like that's mad. That is absolutely mad. So if you are pregnant and you're not allergic to nuts, maybe try that approach and see how you feel, because there's no way you're sitting there eating dirt or clay. So let's talk about protein hunger and the truth about it, okay? So a high protein breakfast can help curb your appetite later in the day. I always say the first meal, no matter what time you have it at, like I say, when I'm in a calorie deficit, I do intermittent fasting. And if I have you know, a really big breakfast, it will help curb my appetite down for the rest of the morning, or the rest of the afternoon, I mean. So there was a small study done, okay, where researchers assigned 32 healthy adults to eat a breakfast containing 2 servings of a high carb cereal, either 1 cup of milk that contained 12 grams of protein or 1 cup of milk mixed with whole milk protein concentrate or a whey protein powder that boosted protein to 28 grams, okay? So the participants then had their blood sugar level measured. After 2 to 3 hours, the participants ate a high carb lunch and had their blood sugar checked again. Later, everyone's appetite was assessed with a questionnaire. The researchers found that the people who consumed extra protein at breakfast had lower blood sugar levels and reduced appetite later in the day compared to those with consuming less protein. So protein, like I always say, takes longer to digest than carbs, which explains why it suppresses appetite, because it fills you for longer. But the study also suggests that the more protein you consume, the longer the effect will last. So this could be helpful for people who fight afternoon cravings or who need help to manage their weight. So when you're having a breakfast, like I see this at hotels all the time, they have that pastry section and the cereal section. And like, look, I was guilty of it for years as well. Like just having a breakfast of pure carbs. Like no wonder you're going back to the presses an hour later, or when you're in work and you know you're picking up biscuits or cakes that are left out when you only had a bowl of cereal an hour beforehand. Like there's no protein in it. So like, you know, mix a protein shake up and use that as your milk and pour it into the cereal even. Like I always add protein powder to my oats, or I'll have like a meaty breakfast like turkey sausages, eggs, etc. So like, although like that study used milk and whey protein powder, the researchers added that it's conceivable that any protein source would work as well. So it doesn't have to just be protein powder and milk. Like I said, you could have a meaty breakfast. So it is the most filling of all the nutrients, protein, and make sure you get enough of it so you can go long periods without having cravings throughout the day. So like eggs, Greek yogurt, chicken, fish, lean meats, tofu, and like plant-based proteins. Plant-based proteins are alternative. So it also, you know, protein reduces appetite and hunger levels. It reduces cravings and desire for late night snacking. So if you're fueling properly with protein and not just like, I always say to people as well, like it's how we divide up our calories dictates how we're going to feel through it today. Like say my calorie deficit was like 1600 calories. If that was just 100% carbs, I would find it very hard to sustain because I'd be hungry a lot through it today because there'd be zero protein in it. So like protein does help reduce cravings and, you know, it's going to stop you snacking then excessively. And it boosts your metabolism and increases fat burning. Your body actually burns more calories breaking down protein in the body. Like I said, your body burns calories just by being alive. And the thermic effect of food, where your body breaks down food, burns calories, and protein requires more energy for your body to do that. And it helps maintain weight loss as well because you're obviously more fuller, you're snacking less, etc. And it increases muscle mass and strength, it's good for your bones, doesn't harm your kidneys. There's a huge myth about harming your kidneys. It doesn't. And it helps your body repair itself after injury or, you know, torn muscle fibers. So what are some of the best foods to be eaten? So I don't like using like good and bad, but like I would suppose these can help. So like unprocessed foods, and I know like we can have a little bit of these on the like occasionally throughout the week, but you know, if we're having them consistently, they're not really going to help. So like a cheeseburger from McDonald's and fries might be comforting while you're eating it, but its nutritional value is very low. Like processed foods such as like some packaged or canned foods, like sweets, box meals, and pre-cooked meats are typically full of preservatives, additives, sodium, trans fats, and artificial ingredients that may slow you down. So like fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables are something else that we can opt for. The fresher food is, the more nutrients it will contain, unlike processed foods that may be stripped of nutrients for a longer shelf life. Do you ever see some of the products that they have in America? Like they have bread on their shelves that don't go off like for 2 years. Like that's kind of scary that we're putting that stuff into our bodies. So fresh foods typically contain higher nutrients. So like eating in season fruits and vegetables means they're ripened naturally. So non-caffeinated beverages, okay? So caffeine is okay in moderation and it has been shown to have some health benefits. Although it provides a short-term boost, it doesn't actually provide the body with energy. The four sips may give you a bit of a jolt. If you must have your fix, opt for black coffee. But if you're not providing your body with good nutrition and balanced meals and snacks, you'll eventually feel run down. Like you have to stop using coffee to replace food, okay? Like some people just have a cup of coffee in the morning as their breakfast. Like I can't get my head around that, and no wonder then you're running back to the presses an hour later and snacking. It's all like, you just go back to the root of the problem. Look at how you start your day and ask yourself, this is why am I craving food at like x time, you know, in the middle of the afternoon? Like look at how you start your day. What are you having for your first meal? So like lean proteins, red meats, marble and fat add saturated fat to your diet. Leaner meats like chicken, turkey, and fish still provide quality protein but contain less saturated fat. So if you're going for a red meat, I always go for the mince. That's only 5% fat in it. If you go for the full fat, like it's much higher in calories. So fish high in omega-3 fatty acids like salmon and tuna can add beneficial heart healthy fats too. And then whole grain and complex carbs. So choosing whole grain foods and complex carbohydrates, you know, like oats, wholemeal bread, ensures that your body gets the full benefits of the whole of the grain that adds fiber to your diet. Nuts and seeds as well, and then obviously water, vitamins and supplements, bananas actually really good. When compared bananas to carbohydrate sports drinks in cyclists who needed sustained energy for long rides, like, so that would be something I would take before a run. Like a banana would be like a quick form of energy, but a healthy version. So a banana actually offers just as much fuel to you as a sports drink. So they're packed with potassium, fiber, vitamins, and the perfect amount of carbs that provide you a big boost of natural energy. And they're often the cheapest fruit, offering great value for money for some extra energy. Oats, they ain't just for breakfast, okay? A big bowl of oats packs a punch of filling fiber and even a little protein. I'm actually bringing pots of oats away with me. Flavin sent me out a big hamper. I'm going to throw them in the suitcase and bring 3 oats and then like a tub of protein powder. I just love my protein oats, even though the breakfast is included in the hotel. I might even have it as a snack. And it's a good choice for people who experience blood sugar spikes and drops with other processed breakfast cereals. So choosing the plain versions of instant packets of oatmeal, like steel cut oats or old fashioned oats, is best as they aren't filled with sugar. So you can then have control of what you put in it, such as the milk, a little honey. Honey is also like a really good carb source, and some mixed berries. I always have my protein powder and melted frozen berries, and like that just, and some peanut butter as well for fats. So where are we now? Sorry, I just have just to kind of like tie a bow up on this, I just have a list here. So outside factors other than the foods that you're eating. So tiredness, exercise, stress, hydration can all play their part with food cravings. Okay, so like I said, your appetite by large is regulated by the hormones ghrelin and leptin. Ghrelin helps to stimulate hunger cravings, allowing your body to know when it's time to eat. And leptin acts as an appetite suppressor, promoting feelings of fullness and satiety. However, if you don't get enough sleep, it can interfere with the balance of these hormones, increasing your levels of ghrelin and your susceptibility to cravings. It also doesn't help that sleep lowers your energy levels, which means that your body's going to be desperate for alternative sources of fuel. So carb-heavy foods and sugar, at least briefly, okay, but increase your energy levels, but they can briefly increase your energy levels, but they also cause a drastic crash. Like when you eat a chocolate bar or a cake, like, you know, you're full of energy for about 15, 20 minutes and then you just crash and then you want more, like it results in more cravings. It's just a vicious cycle. So if, you know, while we're on the subject of sleep, like how can you get by if you didn't get a full night's sleep? So focus on high protein breakfast instead of a little pick-me-up, okay? Instead of going for the cakes and the biscuits, just have a protein-filled breakfast, okay? Keep a steady flow of protein throughout the day as well. You know, like maybe have a protein snack on standby in your drawer at your desk or something like that, a little emergency. And it helps to stabilize your blood sugar, protein does, and minimize cravings for unhealthy foods. Don't let it persist. Try not getting into the habit of, you know, having a poor sleep routine. Like if there are a few days when you just can't get a good night's sleep, be sure it doesn't go on too long. Make the time to cut off work at least an hour before bedtime, screen time, etc., and save the late nights for the weekend when you know you can catch up. Like your body runs off what you feed it. The best way to get the most energy from your food is to make sure you're giving yourself the best foods possible. Besides what you eat, when you eat can also impact your energy. So did you ever notice how you feel sluggish after a big lunch or dinner? That's because your body is using its energy to digest that big meal instead of powering the rest of your body. The easiest way to avoid the post-meal coma is to eat several smaller portion meals throughout the day. Like I get this with clients all the time, like when they're really, really busy and then they don't eat until like 4 o'clock in the day, or like it's their second meal and, you know, their breakfast could have been 9 and their second meal is like 4 in the day, or like they have to catch up on like 1200 calories. And it's like your body's trying to break down that food, and then, you know, you're going to bed then an hour later. Like it's madness. So like having smaller meals throughout the day rather than having huge meals in one sitting, like it will keep your body fueled regularly and may even help you lose weight as well in the long run. So exercise, you've probably heard that exercise can help reduce your appetite and cravings, and for most people it can, but if you exercise intensely, it can actually cause cravings in some people. So when you are like burning yourself out, like over exercising on the treadmill, spin classes, walking out, like of course you're going to feel more hungry. Like you are burning through the calories like there's no tomorrow. It's like throwing a log into a wood chipper. That's why we require more food the more active we are. Like, so people who regularly work out intensely have higher metabolisms than those who do more moderate workouts or don't work out at all. So if you're not sure whether or not this applies to you, watch your appetite on days you work out. You might notice that certain kinds of exercise, like spin classes or something, or if you do resistance training workouts, walk in certain body groups, muscle groups like your legs make you hungrier than other workouts on non-training days, okay? So just make sure you're fueling properly. And then of course, stress. Stress doesn't just put you in an overwhelmed mood, it affects your hormones in a way that appears to be linked with cravings, especially for sweet foods. So I know stress can be a major trigger. Like about 1/4 of adults rate their level of stress as 8 or higher on a 10-point scale, according to a psychological association study. Studies show that when women in particular are under stress, they eat more calories and have more cravings than women who don't feel stressed. So to add insult to injury, stress causes your body to release excess cortisol, which can lead to weight gain, especially in the tummy region, okay? Now, this is over months and years not having one bad day. So when you get a sudden jolt of stress, at first it might cut your appetite as your body goes through its fight or flight response. But if the stress continues, your body releases cortisol, which boosts your appetite, okay? People who are stressed seem to be drawn to certain types of foods. Foods high in calories, fat, sugar, or else all three. So this could be because those foods actually soothe some of your body's stress responses, including emotions, okay? Not only that, but when you're stressed, you probably don't sleep very well either. So tack on the cravings of, you know, poor sleep and then, you know, the hormonal responses to that as well as stress. Oh, it's just a recipe for disaster. Like, you, stress eating is a common practice during life's more intense moments. So, you know, there's short-term stress and then long-term stress. So short-term stress is, oh, you know, I've loads of shit to do today. But long-term stress is like a job that like could just be really stressful and it's ongoing months. And it's not just stress, like, you know, anxiety can be tacked onto that, depression, and it's a whole domino effect. And that like really impacts, like, you know, our cravings. But that pretty much sums it up. So like, what I would say is the key takeaways on this, okay, I have seven here, seven top takeaways on how to beat cravings, just to kind of sum up, okay? They are your worst enemy when you are at a calorie deficit, especially when you're not used to battling them, okay? But drink water, eat more protein, distance yourself from the craving, try not have things staring at you in plain sight, like the box of chocolates on your desk, you know, the biscuit tin out on the counter. So when you feel a craving, like when you turn it down once, it gets a little bit easier and you start to build more mental resilience. But in the earlier days of your diet, when you're only getting used to this, it can feel a lot more difficult. So, you know, create an environment that actually makes life easier for you. So out of sight, out of mind. So plan your meals as well. So that way when you're coming home after a busy day and you're starving, you're not going straight to the presses. Avoid getting extremely hungry. Like I said, the day gets ahead of you, you come home, you're starving, and that's when you can just like eat rings around yourself and your body doesn't know when to feel full because you're so hungry. And then obviously find ways to deal with stress other than replacing it with food, okay? Like using food as a way to combat stress never ends well. So find other alternatives like meditation, going for a walk, speaking to someone, and then finally enough sleep. Like sleep is so overlooked. It really is. Like I am such a baby. Sleep is so important to me, like ever since I started getting older. Like I even noticed when, you know, after a night of drinking, you're not sleeping properly and it affects your cravings the next day. Obviously, that's why you crave salty food. You're obviously lacking proper sleep. So that's going to increase your cravings. And yeah, I'm just in an absolute fowler when I don't get enough sleep. Like everything just suffers when I don't get enough sleep, like my productivity, energy levels, my mood. And then obviously I don't make great food choices and I'm less inclined to exercise. So yeah, I would, to sum up, that's exactly what I would be looking out for, okay? When it comes to cravings, drink water, eat more protein, distance yourself from the craving, plan your meals, avoid getting extremely hungry, fight your stress, find a different way to combat it, and get enough sleep, okay? I hope that has given you a lot of insight into cravings. So I wrote out like kind of a couple of paragraphs and like some bullet points. So apologies if some bits don't make sense. I do just scribble stuff down. But I hope that does help because a lot of people think like, oh, once I have a craving, that's it. I have to fold. No, there are ways to deal with it. And there's reasons why I'm getting them. Okay. So again, there won't be a podcast next week because I will be away. taking time off, well deserved, but I have this one here for you, and then I will be back the week after. So yeah, see you then.